God, I see what's in front of me, but my goodness, it's huge. How in the world is this ever going to happen? And God takes me back to the place where He helps me to understand, I'm not going to show you how, I'm going to speak to you how. And what you need to follow is my voice. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul writing to Ephesians. We've already covered this verse some number of weeks, but I just wanted to go back to it. And Paul is saying, and this is verse 13, in him you also, when you heard the word, we say heard the word. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, say believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. So I want you to say these three phrases with me. Heard the word. Believed in him. Sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. So Father, right now, I ask you to give me access and entrance into every heart, every believer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'm going to get to the other two in just a minute. Paul is writing and he says, when you heard and you believed, you were sealed. And what I want to talk to you about this morning is we're in this church beyond the building thing. So my goal and my prayer is, and I'm praying, and I know that next month I'm going to do a real focus on missions. But I'm praying, I know that in December we've got Operation Christmas Blessing. I am just going to put this out there, okay? This is just an offer. I want, and we need some way of partnering with some organization through the month of November to get the church beyond the building. So I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's a feeding or if it's turkeys or if it's soup kitchen or what. But I'm just saying, Pastor Rick is really open and I need to hear from you. So if you guys have so many more ears. I only have one. Y'all know that. But most of y'all have two. I only have one good one. But if I can get all of you guys to listen and figure out what is a great partnership ministry that we can be outside of these walls through the month of November, I'm looking for that. We must become the church beyond the building. It is not just enough to be here and check an attendance record and show up for a youth class or sing on a platform. We have got to be carriers of the kingdom of God outside of the place of these four walls this morning. Paul is saying to the church, when you heard the word of truth, which was, by the way, the gospel. Gospel means what? It's good news. The good news of your salvation. When you heard that word and you believed in him, then you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. I'll give you another passage in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. The writer of Hebrews says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard. Say the things we have heard. Lest we drift away. So in other words, the writer of Hebrews is saying, we've got to really pay attention to what we've heard. We're in the month of September, and I know there are concerns about the month of September. I'll just tell you where I'm at. I trust the Father, and I just want to be ready. The parable of the 10 virgins, and the 5 are ready, 5 are not. I want to be the ready ones. I just want to be ready. So I don't know what September looks like, and I watched part of a video that Raymond has shared with me. Pastor John Kilpatrick, and I have great admiration for Pastor Kilpatrick. He was the pastor of Brownsville during the revival. And I didn't get all the way through it, but one of the things that I heard him say, and I appreciated him saying this, is, you know what, I have not heard God say what's going to happen in the month of September. But he feels like there's a season for something for God to be at work. Now, and Mike has taught some on this on Wednesday nights, and some others have done much more diligent research than I have. But when I read these words of Hebrews, it helps me prepare my course for the day, and that's kind of where I want to take us today. I want us to hear the word that the Lord has given. The writer says, therefore, we must give more earnest heed. So there's an emphasis there, like he's saying, hey, will you just wake up? He's kind of grabbing you. Let me just just, I can pick on you. Will you just pay attention? You know? Listen to this. Pay more earnest attention, heed to the things that we have heard, lest we what? Drift away. And that, when you read that, it's really, some of the commentary I read on it was like, it could refer to a nautical scene, like a boat. Just slow. Y'all ever been to the beach? I grew up on the beach, so we would take our boogie board, or if I borrowed a surfboard, we would take a surfboard out, and you just go out there and you're on the water, and then you look up and 30 minutes later, and you're like a quarter mile down, and you didn't realize it. Because what happened? You drifted. And so the writer of Hebrews is helping us to understand something. If we don't pay attention, if we don't pay attention to the things that we've heard, we'll drift away. And here's the deal. We may not ever even know it. You may look up 30 minutes later and you're a quarter mile down the beach from where you started. Or you may look up 30 days later and realize, you know what? I haven't done my quiet time. I haven't prayed for my family. And suddenly one day turns into 3 days, which turns into 30 days, which turns into 3 months. And then we're drifting away. Because why? Because we're not paying attention to what we're supposed to. The things that you and I hear. Faith comes by what? That's what I thought it said. And hearing comes by what? The Word. One more passage in 2 Kings 18:41. Just jot this one down. I'm going to end on this one probably. 2 Kings 18:41. Are you there? Or you can see it. I don't need to tell you. You know what? I said 8 seconds. I'm going to fact check myself. Yeah, it's actually 1 Kings 18. Typo. My bad. 1 Kings 18:41. I don't think 2 Kings 18 goes to 41. Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of the abundance of rain." The New Living Translation, that's the New King James, the New Living Translation puts it this way, "For I hear a mighty rainstorm coming." So Paul, we go back to Paul for a second, he says, when you heard, you believed and you were sealed. The writer of Hebrews says, pay attention to the things that you have heard. Kings, Elijah says, get up, eat and drink, because I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Hearing this morning is believing. That's the title of today. Hearing is believing. It's not seeing is believing, it's hearing is believing. Vision, I would say this. Vision for your life is directly connected to what you hear, not what you see. The vision that you need to have for your life needs to be connected to what you hear, not what you see. The remedy for sin, do you know what that is? Well, yes, it's the cross. But you know what will keep you from sin? A vision for your life. Proverbs said it in chapter 29, verse 18. He says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. Another translation says, where there is no vision, the people perish. So in other words, where there's no revelation, no vision for your life, the people become unruly, and they're just haphazard, and they're all over the place. Andy Stanley says this. This is a great statement about vision. Vision always stands in contrast to the world as it is. Think about that for a second. Vision demands change. It implies movement. But a vision requires someone to champion the cause. For a vision to become a reality, someone must put his or her neck on the line. Vision demands change. Vision, it stands in contrast to the world as it is. Change is something we either love it or we hate it. And most of the time we hate it. And We got political people that like to trump that word out there. I didn't mean to use his word on purpose because I don't think he's using it. But they love to put that word out there, change, change, change. And so now we live in a day and age where change has been lined up with one person, unfortunately. And we need to allow the Holy Spirit. That's why when I pray these, and I pray it often, you guys have heard me, I pray that we'll go from faith to faith, from glory to glory. Because there's a change process that the Father wants to take us through. I was thinking about this. I've traveled to a lot of different churches. Okay? Somebody's alarm's going off. I hope it's not mine. It's not? Okay. I use that alarm. That's why I recognize it so readily. It's the one I use. I've been in a lot of different churches in my life. And here's what I can tell you about churches. I can walk into a church and look at the decor and the surroundings and tell you when their heyday was, when they had their biggest move of God. Because that's where they're locked. It's just as true today, folks. We got churches that use lights and smokes, and that's their big move of God. And in 10 years, they're going to be left behind because God's moving it in a different way. He's not using LED lights. Am I against LED lights? No. I'm not particularly for smoke. In fact, I'm not at all. I was thinking about that particular illustration when we sang this song this morning, More Love, More Power. Karen and I have kind of joked about it because we practiced it a little bit, and then she sang it a couple weeks at the altar. And for both of us, that was, well, I think it was for her, but at least for me, I won't speak for her, but I know for me, that song, it's a vineyard song. Some of you have heard maybe the Newsboys do it, and they did it in Injustice or whatever, but I like the vineyard version because you know what? That's the version for me where God moved mightily in my life, and so I like to hang on to that version. And for some of us, I heard someone say recently there are two things that have changed worship music in the church. One of them is technology, right? And I'm very thankful for that, okay? If I were playing acoustic guitar and we didn't have amplifiers, I'd be breaking strings all the time. I'm thankful for sound systems and guys back there that know how to make it all work. And the other thing that has changed our worship music in the church probably more than anything, these two things, technology, and the other thing is prosperity. Because, see, we're not singing the songs like that a generation that came through the Great Depression had to sing. There's a reason why some of those old hymns about hanging on mean a lot to that generation, because that was the generation in which God moved in their life and it gave them something to hang on to. So we can't look down on that. Otherwise, we look down on More Love, More Power, and we'll look down on Multiplied and Build Your Kingdom Here. You see, through the ages, God reaches another generation through worship music quite often. And there'll be another one. They're already, I mean, more, actually right now, more of the music is probably trending toward a folk style of music. Less driving guitars and more. Is that what you experienced at Emmanuel? Would you say that it was a lot of it was folk style music? Completely unrelated to my message. I'm talking about vision, though. What I want to say to us in regard to this is that when it comes to vision, vision demands change. And so we have to constantly be willing to say, Lord, I know you did it that way back then, and we're not going to throw that out. But what are you doing now? Because there's another generation coming through those doors. In fact, there's another generation that just walked out those doors called Kids Church. And we need to reach them and disciple them. And then one day they're going to be in their 20s and 30s, and they're going to be the young parents, and there's going to be another style that comes along. And we got to die to ourselves and say, okay, Lord, what are you using now? See, every generation has those songs that connect with their heart. I do think there are a few songs that connect with a lot of hearts across the generations. And some of those are the most powerful old hymns of the church. The remedy to sin is a vision for your life. I want to say this very clearly, young people in particular, but old people as well. If you're locked down in a cycle of sin, perhaps there's no vision for your life. And I believe God has a purpose and He has a vision for you. The remedy for mediocrity is vision. The remedy for selfishness is vision. The remedy for self-absorption is vision. You understand that we have this amazing technology. I've got a pair of them over there, my glasses that I wear from time to time. We have this amazing technology that we can fix eyesight, but we have nothing that can fix vision except for Jesus. I'm not talking about your eyesight. I'm talking about your vision. What has God spoken to you? And what has He said to you? Because whatever He said to you, that's part of His vision for your life. Vision is not just something that he writes on a board and says, shoot for that, shoot for the stars. This is not a telethon. We're not trying to raise $10,000. This is something that you wrap your life around and you say, you know what, this thing consumes me. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. I like the way the Amplified says it. It says, where there is no vision, and then parenthetically it says this, where there is no redemptive revelation of God. That's good. Where there is no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. So let me ask you a question. You just need to answer this. Have you heard God's vision for your life? Do you know what that vision is? Some of you are just trying to make it through the day. I'm just trying to make it through the month. Y'all don't understand. My checkbook running out of money. And so when we live in that cycle, okay, I'm kidding about that. But when we live in that cycle where we're just trying to make it month to month, day to day, week to week, it's hard to have a vision for your life, isn't it? As I was preparing these notes and this morning I was going back over them, I just felt like I needed to write this down. So close your eyes and I want to ask you just to listen. I got about three things I want to say, and these are really just meant to land in your spirit, and I want to speak them prophetically. I want you to hear something. I want to say, number one, you are not an accident. Somebody just needs to receive that. You are not an accident. Number two, you are designed by the Creator. And number three, I want you to hear that God wants to release vision for your life. You can open your eyes. I want to take you into the Gospels for a minute. In Matthew chapter 14, there's a character by the name of Peter, which I have affectionately said, sometimes I feel like I tend to think I identify more with Peter than probably some of the others. Peter had a way of really just kind of taking this thing right here and putting it in this thing right here. Anybody else? You don't have to raise your hand. I'll just put it out there for you. The Lord's helped me with that through the years. I am learning to think and listen more than I am just run my mouth. But Peter had a habit of this. And in Matthew 14, just to give you a little bit of backdrop, Jesus just hears the word of John's beheading. And so Jesus gets away because of the news that he just receives. He gets away to a solitary place, and then the crowd follows him. Well, the crowd follows him, and Jesus sees them, and you know what happens? Jesus is moved with compassion. Of course, he just heard the news of John's beheading, so now his heart is filled. His in that move with compassion is really the word in the Greek, I think, is similar to the word for we get for bowels, like the innermost man is moved. Jesus is moved with compassion. And he turns around and he performs this amazing miracle of feeding the 5,000. And then Scripture says immediately after feeding him, after feeding them, Jesus sends the disciples away to the other side. He sends while he tends to the multitude who's behind. So the disciples get in the boat, and you know the story, right? They get on a boat, and the weather isn't that great. In fact, I've been on the Sea of Galilee in December of 1990, right before the Gulf War. I was there with School of Christian Ministries, and the waves were choppy, and the sea was really starting to chop up a lot, and our captain said, there's no way we're going across. We'll go out a little ways, but we're coming back. I said, you're the captain. You know what's best, sir. So there we are, and we're out there, and it's December, so there's nothing quite as beautiful and memorable in my life. Two things about that trip. I'll tell you the second one. Coming back on LL Airlines, singing Lee Greenwood's God Bless the USA was quite an experience with my brothers and sisters. But there was nothing quite as memorable as being out on the Sea of Galilee and singing Christmas carols. And so the waves begin to stir up, and it begins to become a storm, and Jesus goes and he prays. And the disciples are crossing over, and then they're in the middle of the sea, in the middle of the night, and Jesus walks out to them on the water, and the disciples think, it must be a ghost. Isn't it interesting that the people who Jesus was most closely related to didn't understand or didn't see him as he was? It's not the first time it happened. It happened after his resurrection as well. They didn't recognize him. And Jesus tells them, he says, be of good cheer, it is I. So in other words, just settle down, guys. Nothing to worry about, it is me. And so Peter, in this moment, you know, foot, shoe, mouth moment, Scripture says, Peter says, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Y'all know this story, right? Peter gets a bad rap because Peter sunk. We know that, but I'm not going to get there just yet. Remember the scenario. The waves are stirring. The boat's rocking. The disciples are scared. It's got to be a ghost. Settle down, guys. It's just me. Lord, if it is you, command me to come out to you. You know what I love about Peter? I love that Peter didn't ask this. Because Scripture is very clear. It does not say, Lord, if it is you, show me how you're doing that. Because showing has to do with sight. What he asks of Jesus, command me. In other words, Matthew, I need a word from you. Jesus, I need to hear what your word is for me. I don't need you to show me how what you're doing. I don't need you to show me. That's a really cool trick, Jesus. I don't need you to show me how to do it. I need you to tell me to come to you. I need to receive from you a word. Everybody say, I need a word. Do you believe it? If you believe it, say it again. Peter requests a word. So you know what he gets? He gets a word. And Jesus says, come. At that point, do you realize what Peter is walking on? Peter steps out of the boat. And church, I want you to get this. Because Peter isn't walking on the water. Peter is walking on the word. He's walking on the word, church. So when God gives you a word, when God gives you a prophetic or a redemptive revelation for your life, you got to stop trying to figure it out. Do you realize something? When he's in the boat, the storms are brewing. Lord, command me to come to you. Come. He steps out and he steps on the word. And do you realize when he sinks? It's when he looks at his circumstances. So church, Peter is walking on the word, And I would ask you this morning, what are you walking on? Verse 30 says this, but when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, beginning to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. Here's the deal, and I want you to get this. I'm not preachy fiery right now, but I want you to hear this clearly. The wind was boisterous before he ever got out of the boat. Before he ever stepped foot on the water, the present circumstances and situations going on in his life were all around him. And when Jesus spoke the word and said, come, he stepped out on the word, but when he looked at his circumstances, he began to sink. Those wind and those waves and that tornado and all that activity, that wasn't really a tornado, but all of that, those waves and everything going on around him, all of that stuff was going on around him to begin with. Before he ever stepped out of the boat, the wind and the waves were brewing, and he commanded, he said, Jesus, give me a word. And Jesus says, come, and he steps out of the boat, and he's walking on water, and when he takes his eyes off of the word, Jesus, when he takes his eyes off the word, the one who said, come, when he takes his eyes off of the master, and he begins to look at the circumstances around him, he begins to sink. So here's the deal. What's the word God gave you? What's the word he gave you, Steve? What's the word he gave you, Raymond? What's the word he gave you, Miss Francis? What's the word he gave you, Orvis? What's the word he gave you, Jack and Maveline? What's the word? Because I can tell you this. The wind can be brewing, the storm wave, the waves can be bashing in on the side of the boat. It can look like the worst storm of your life. But if you ever take your eyes off of the word, you and I will both sink. Because here's the deal. Jesus calls and he gives us a word in the midst of the storms of our life. In the midst of the storms is when Jesus speaks. Peter shifted his vision from what he heard to what he saw. And if you think Peter's the only one, let's go Old Testament. Joshua chapter 6. You don't have to turn there. But in verse 2, and the Lord said to Joshua, see. See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and its mighty men of valor. Now here's the deal. If I'm Joshua, and the Lord says, see, I'm going, God, are you sure? Are you sure? Because when I see, when I look with my eyes instead of looking with the word and looking with my ears, what I see is an insurmountable obstacle standing in front of my life. And I don't know how in the world that's going to come down. And I don't know how we're going to have this as an inheritance, because all I can see is this great big thing in front of me. And I don't know if I'm the only one in this house of worship today, but I can tell you there have been times in my life where I've said, God, I see what's in front of me, but my goodness, it's huge. How in the world is this ever going to happen? And God takes me back to the place where he helps me to understand, I'm not going to show you how, I'm going to speak to you how. And what you need to follow is my voice. I have given. The Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given. Y'all realize that's perfect tense. That's a prophetic statement right there. In other words, it's already done. So I just got to walk in the word. Because if I look at the insurmountable obstacle in front of me, there's no way. God declared the victory before the victory, because the victory wasn't a problem for him. So there's your two examples of guys that we both know really well, Peter and Joshua, where the Lord calls them to move into something. And he calls them by his word. Therefore, let us give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Let me go back to Peter for a second. Peter, one of the first disciples, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus looks at Peter and he says, I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You write that down, Matthew 16:18. In that moment, Peter receives a word. You're Peter, and on this rock I'm going to build my church. The gates of hell aren't going to have any problem. But here's the deal with Peter. Peter falls asleep in the garden, Matthew chapter 26. In that same chapter, Matthew chapter 16, Peter rebukes Jesus. Peter, I'm going to build my church on you. And then he rebukes Jesus. Sorry, Joker. Go ahead and say it. You know you want to. You big dummy. Pull little Fred Sanford out right there. You big dummy. John chapter 18, Peter attacks Malchus. In all four Gospels, you read about Peter denying Jesus. At the end of John's Gospel, Jesus tests him three times. He asks him, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? But I want you to transition. I want you to look at the life of Peter for a moment. Because Jesus gave him purpose. And every purpose, every person in this room, we have purpose. We have to hear that. We have to hear the word of the Lord for our life. And that requires some work, okay? There could be clutter in our way. There may be sin in our life. There may be obstacles that we have to overcome. We may not be open. We may not even want to hear from God. So we have to have a willingness to surrender, to hear from the Lord. And Peter had that. But then he goes through this stuff and he rebukes Jesus and he falls asleep when he's supposed to be praying and he cuts off the ear of a dude and all these things. And I just feel like Peter sometimes, I'll be honest with you. But I have a word. I have a word. I have a word from the Lord. That's all I need. That's all I need. You transition to Acts. You don't have to turn there, but in Acts chapter 2, 3, and 4, we see Peter. He's a completely different individual. Now he's bold, and now he's preaching the gospel. You look in Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 9, and Peter is a miracle worker. You look in Acts chapter 1, chapter 5, chapter 8, and chapter 15, and he's an authority figure in the church. He's a leader. This is the same dude that denied Jesus. So if you have denied him today, I want you to understand something. There's still hope, and don't give up now. Because Jesus used this guy who denied him three times to be a leader in the early church. See, when I said that earlier, no one is an accident. I really feel like there's some people in here that maybe you feel like your life is an accident. I want you to understand something. If you've denied Jesus or you've written him off or you've said, que sera, sera, whatever will be, I want you to understand the Father heart of God is redemptive and he has a plan for your life. And he can use you no matter how far away you feel like you have gone. In Acts chapter 10, Peter's a missionary to the Gentiles. In Acts chapter 12, Peter is a missionary to the Jews outside of Jerusalem. But this is the same guy, remember, and I want you to get this, and I'm going to wrap up in a second. This is the same guy that said, Lord, I need a word from you. Say, let me just interrupt myself for a second. I think too many times we spend too much time praying like this. Lord, show me how. When we need to be praying, Lord, let me hear. Let me hear. Because if I can hear the word, I can move into it. Because if I'm praying, show me how, then I'm also going to be evaluating my circumstances and look at what's going on around me and trying to figure out, well, how does this fit into what God wants to do? Let me finish. 1 Kings chapter 18. I've got five takeaways for you. I'm on my last page. 1 Kings 18, verse 41. Israel is in, or let me get to verse 41 in a second, but let me back it up and say this. Israel is in a drought. Okay, I'm going to read about four or five verses of Scripture here. Israel is in a drought. Everybody say they're in a drought. That's just a tool to make sure you're still awake. 1 Kings 18, 41, then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound. Everybody say, there is the sound. That means that we hear it. There is the sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and then he bowed down on the ground, and he put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and he looked. And he said, there's nothing. Remember what the word said. There is a sound of an abundance of rain. The servant goes up and looks. Elijah, did you take too many Tylenol PM last night or what? There is nothing. And seven times he said to him, go again. There's nothing. Go again. There's nothing. Go again. I hear the sound. I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. I know we're in a drought, but I want you to go up and I want you to look again. There's nothing, Elijah. I hate to tell you, I hate to disappoint you, but all the circumstances around you right now are indicators. The barometric pressure is not right. There's not a cloud. There's nothing. Go again. Go again. Go again. Seven times he sends him back because Elijah has got a word from the Lord. Do you see the tenacity and the perseverance? When you hear the word of the Lord, you don't give up because it doesn't work out the first time. You say, you know what, God? You spoke this to me, so I know you're faithful and you'll complete it. So go again. And then verse 44 says, then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there's a cloud. Isn't that good news? Right here, we need a Hammond B3 organ. Come on, y'all. Come on. Give me your best. There you go. There is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. In other words, Ahab, you better get your ride out of town because the rain is coming. It is really just small. Isn't it remarkable that God is going to cure the drought? He's going to end the drought. He's going to get them through this season of their life by something that's as small as a man's hand. In other words, you better go get your ride because the floodwaters are getting ready to come and you're not going to make it out of here. All because he heard the sound of the abundance of rain. So what are you hearing? How many folks we got signed up for Encounter? Okay, we need some people to pay up. Okay. Y'all hear that? We need y'all to pay up. So how many we got signed up though? 14? I'm excited about that. I was praying about that on the plane too. I'm not going to lie. I hear the sound of freedom. I hear the sound of shackles falling off of people's lives. I hear the sound of people finding freedom and finding their redemptive purpose. I hear the sound of men and women marching in unity because that's what we've been looking at all through Ephesians. I hear the sound of men and women walking in accordance to the purpose of God for their life, not being distracted to the left or to the right, but wholly following after Him. That's the sound that I hear. I hear the sound of barriers being broken. I know I'm deaf in one ear, but I still hear it, y'all. I hear the sound of barriers being broken. I hear the sound of black and white and Hispanic and every other race coming together on Sunday morning at Mountain Gap Church and worshiping our Creator. I hear that sound. Can I tell a story? I didn't plan to. I probably should clear this with you. Constance and I were talking a couple weeks ago. She tells me, she says, I tell all my friends I go to a multiracial church. And they all say, well, you go to that white church. She said, no, it isn't. What color am I? I'm like, you go. Yeah, go ahead. Give God praise. I hear that sound. I love you, sister. Mariela, I know. I know. ¿Cómo está? Gloria a Dios. I'm about the end of it right there. I'm trying to remember how to say, I am hungry. I hear the sound. I hear the sound of children being filled with the Holy Spirit and youth going after the purpose of God for their life. I hear the sound. I hear the sound of an abundance, not lack. I hear that sound. Amen. I hear the sound, and I'm so excited about October because we're going to look at missions, and I've just got some things that the Lord has put in my heart. I'm going to be talking to the council. You guys get ready next Sunday night. I think that the Lord wants us to be the church beyond the building. Amen. And so we're going to have to figure out what that means and how we're going to partner with some organizations. I think I just told you. Okay, so you can pray about it for a few days. How do we bless and how do we come along someone else who's doing something that we need to bless them? I'm going to talk about blessing tonight. Don't miss tonight. Genesis chapter 12, I'm going to be there and I'm going to be in Psalm 67, I think. We're going to talk about blessing tonight. I want you to understand something. God didn't bless you just so you could be blessed.
That's right.
We're going to look at that cycle tonight. It's a beautiful thing. But I hear the sound, and I believe that hearing is believing. What? Walk in what you hear. I want you to give you these five takeaways. Karen, can you make your way up? Number one, God is not obligated to what you see, but he is obligated to what he says. Let that settle for a minute. God is not obligated to what you see, but he is obligated to what he says. His word is powerful and his word is true, and when he speaks it, he means it. I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, but there's nothing there. Go back. I need you to go look again. I hate to tell you, there ain't nothing there. No, I need you to go back again. Elijah, with all due respect, there's nothing there. No, I need you to go back again. And he repeats this cycle seven times because he heard. And he comes back and he says, you know what? I see a cloud. That cloud, it's only about the size of a man's fist. Okay? Now here's how faith responds. You go tell Ahab to get his chariot ready because the rains are coming. I'm going to tell you something. God works in seed form, church. That's how God works. He works in seed form.
Yes, he does.
That's how God works. He works in seed form. Number two, everything God gives is in seed form. So we take this seed. All I see is a man's hand. It's pretty tiny. Elijah, are you sure about this? Man's hand? Yeah, because God is faithful. He will perform his word. He is faithful. Number three, God can bring miracles in the midst of rough waters. These are your takeaways. Remember Peter. The storm was going on before the Lord ever spoke. The storm may be going on in your life right now. And if God is speaking to you, I want to say to you prophetically, stop looking at the storm. Start listening to the word. Because the Lord can perform a miracle in the midst of the rough waters around you. Will you but listen? Number four, God can bring in abundance in the place of small beginnings. And finally, number five, vision is seeing it through your hearing. Will you stand with me this morning?